Parshat Bishalach begins with the following pasuk. It happened when Paro sent out the people that Hashem did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. Ki karofu, because it was near. For God said, perhaps the people will reconsider when they see a war and the return to Egypt. So Hashem turned the people toward the way of the wilderness, to the Sea of Reeds, etc. So the obvious question we need to ask ourselves, and this is a question that many of the Mefarshim ask, it's articulated in source number 3. Sarich lavin, eze makom yesh lach shol shebnei Yisrael yirtzu lachzor l'mitzrayim. Hashem said, I can't take them the shorter route of Plishtim because maybe when they see a war, they're going to want to go back to Egypt. You ever imagine that the people would want to go back to Egypt? V'chi chasrei de'ahem? Are they lacking sense? Halom ha'mitzrim na'igu otam v'achzor yisnora? The Egyptians treated them with such cruelty. Zarku et yaldeihem le'or? They threw their children into the Nile. Hevidu otam b'avodat perach? They enslaved them with terrible slavery. Ha'im yachzeru li'tano v'lisbol shuv mitachas ro'am? You would think they would want to go back and be slaves? B'prat sarich lavino lo afilu iver melei daret anisim harabim v'atzumim shakarish baruch hu asayitam. V'im kema hava min eshez v'ut amur ha'esh v'amur ha'nan shashem parach shalach lem. Further, they saw such great miracles. You think they're going to leave these great miracles that Hashem's accompanying them with? What is this idea that there's even a hava min, even a thought that they would go back to Egypt? It makes absolutely no sense. You know, I had an opportunity this week to read this book, Incredible, by Nachman Seltzer, about Rabbi Wallace, who's the Rav Arachim, and in the middle of the book, it's spellbound. It's an incredible book. That's the only way to describe it. I mean, it just gives you a sense of the majesty and the ingenuity and the siyata d'shmaya and the strength of the human spirit. It's just an unbelievable book. So one of the things in the book is that his father was a Holocaust survivor. You know, when he went back, Rabbi Wallace with his sons, with his father to visit the camps and those places, his father said, you can go on the trains and look around. I am not going back there. You know, I'll stand out the outside of Auschwitz. I'm not going back in there, right? The thought, and they weren't even there, the Germans, right? They were vanquished. But the thought of even going back to a place which had caused so much pain and brutality and so much suffering, I'll stand outside, but I'm not going to go in. And here the Jews are saying, okay, you know, maybe it's better back in Egypt. Like, are they nuts? Like, how could this be? So that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Reconsidering return? Like, ech v'shar davar kaze? So that's our first question. The second question, which is again a question a lot of the Mefarshim asked, that Hashem did not lead them the way of the land of the Philistines, ki karov, because it was near. The it is unexplained. What was near? And we have to understand that imagery of karov. It is close. What exactly is close? So there are quite a number of understandings of this very, very perplexing question. And I'd like to take a look at quite a number of them and see if we can be able to glean, at least in some of them, what lessons we can learn for our lives. And very much, it's a mindset of tshuva, mindset of return, a mindset of what it means to fall back and to backslide into life and how we can protect ourselves. The first level, which is probably the easiest to understand, the smoothest, overcoming all difficulties, is one that Rav Schlesinger suggests in Eila HaDvarim. And he notes that there are two words, and this is a very famous idea, used to describe the Jewish people throughout this parak and really throughout Chumash. One is Ha'am, the nation, and one is B'nai Yisrael, the Jewish people. And he quotes here the idea that Ha'am is referring to the Eruv Rav. The Am is referring to either the converts that came with them, the Egyptians, or perhaps, as of Schlesinger, the Jewish people, the Jews themselves, who really didn't believe in the power of redemption that they were ever going to get out of there. Be that as it may, it's obviously the people who did not believe fully in the hand of God, whether the people, Jews themselves, or the Eruv Rav. And therefore, whenever the Chumash is using this phrase, it's describing this group of people. That Hashem said, perhaps the people, ki nicham ha'am, who's going to reconsider going back? The Am, the Eruv. say, you know, oh my gosh, we're going to hit a war? Let me go back to Egypt. Things are much safer there. Why did I go with this group of people? And that's why, further on, it says, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael came out armed. They were ready for war. They were ready to move forward. It was the Am, the nation, the Erevrav, who were reticent. And you see this distinction throughout. You have, for example, in 4b, Uparo hikriv v'yisu b'nei Yisrael teneihem v'nei Yisrael nosei achareihem. V'yru ma'od v'yitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem. Who's crying out to Hashem, save us, when they see the Egyptians coming close? It's B'nai Yisrael, the people who are believing. While, who are the ones who are saying, let's go back to Egypt? These are the people who are the Am, the people who are the ones who don't believe. And that's why, Vayor Moshe la'am al tiru, hijyad furu at Yeshua Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu has to say to the Am, stand here and see the wonders of God. Not to B'nai Israel. Obviously they're going to see the wonders of God. Obviously they're open to it. It's the Am who have this question. It's the Am who have this problem. And that's why it's Az Yashir Moshe uv'nei Israel to Shira Azov. It's the B'nai Israel who sing the Shira. It's B'nai Israel, that appellation of Klai Israel, who believe, who are ready to move forward, who see the hand of God. Those are the ones are, who are described. When it uses the word Am, these are the people who Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, has to convince. It's those people that Hashem is worried about, that they're going to want to influence the rest of the people to go back. In this understanding, it's very, very simple, that the Am, the Erev Rav, they're the ones going to want to return. B'nai Israel are ready to get out of there. They don't want to have anything more to do with the suffering. They're, you know, a one-way ticket, so to speak. Okay, that's a very clear distinction between the two. Another very logical distinction that would help us understand how could they even think about going back is one that Rav Uziel Maleski, in Ner Uziel, posits. And he explains in Source 5 that Targum Yonatan explains that 30 years before the Exodus, a group of Jews in the tribe of Ephraim calculated the time had come for Jewish people to leave Egypt. They mistakenly reasoned that the 400 years of Jewish enslavement, which Abraham learned of during the Bris Ben Psarim, was to be reckoned from the day Hashem revealed his vision to Abraham. These Jews fled Egypt and headed directly north along the coastal road through Philistine territory, where they were ambushed by the Philistines and brutally slain, and their bodies left unburied. In retrospect, we know that erred by 30 years, the Jewish people's term of enslavement was to be calculated from the Yitzchak's birth, which was 30 years after the Bris Ben Psarim. Now here the Targum Yonatan explains, if the people would see armed resistance, they would lose heart and return to Egypt, refers to the slaying of these Jews to the tribe of Ephraim. God knew that if he were to lead the Jewish people through the direct route of the coastal road, which had been taken by the Jews who had been killed 30 years earlier, they would surely see the bones of their brethren strewn across the Philistine countryside. This would cause them to panic and scurry back to Egypt. But he goes even one step further. So that we understand, why would they go back to Egypt? They get afraid. Oh my gosh, if that's what happened to them, what's going to happen to us? Boom, let's go back to Egypt. It was out of fear. But he takes this one step further, and he says, the Jews, fully cognizant of the fact that the 400-year exile had been cut down almost by half, were haunted by fears that Hashem was taking them out of Egypt and into the desert only to annihilate them. They were certain they had given up on them, since they had lost so much of their spiritual stance, and they now planned to wipe the slate clean and select a different people as the chosen nation. Hashem perceived their state of agitation and knew if they would see the bones of the group from the tribe of Ephraim, it would only reinforce their nightmarish dreams. So what were they thinking? You know what? Better, let's go back to Egypt. Let's finish up the 400 years, and then we will go out and we will be deserving of going out. And safer to return to Egypt and to stoically serve out their full term of enslavement in order to fulfill the decree of 400 years of exile, which Hashem had revealed to Abraham. So again, according to this, there were people who were thinking, says the Ner Uziel, in very practical terms. We want to remain Hashem's people. We know we've left many years before, or God has taken us many years before. Perhaps He's fed up with us. He's given up on us. Let's stay in Egypt. Let's keep the promise fulfilled that He said to Avram that we'll be there for 400 years. And then when we get out, we know we'll be getting out safe and sound, and we'll have no problems. So going back to Egypt was specifically going back to the servitude. They knew what they were going back into. They knew about the Kor HaBarzel. How could they have gone back in there? In order, in their mind, to fulfill the will of God, to finish up the 400 years, and that way to be liberated with a clean slate and be able to enter into the land of Israel. Okay, so here we see already a number of approaches that allow us to have an understanding. The first approach, that it was the Egyptians who wanted to go back to their lifestyle. The second approach, the Jews themselves, who wanted to go back into exile in order to fulfill the promise of that Hashem gave Avraham Avinu. Along these lines of this dynamic between the Jewish people and Hashem is the third approach of the Nesiv HaShalom, who explains the following. He says, there are two ways to fight, there are many, but there are two main ways to fight the Mohammed HaYetzer, to fight the evil inclination. There are some that people daven, Hashem, just, I can't anymore, take it away from me. And Hashem does save him from the Yetzer Hara, but that's an Yisrusa de la Ela, an awakening from above, and it only affects that very specific area. Akevan Shelo Yechnia et Levavo, because he didn't really subjugate his Koach HaYetzer, the Yetzirah really remains. So in this particular point of time, it may not raise its head, but it's very much there. However, there's another way to be machnia the Yetzirah. Ve'yesh asher yudi, the asterisk in 7, mitgaber, ala Yetzirah b'susul d'latata, that a Jew works on it from below. Instead of just davening, Hashem, please take it away, we work on it, we try to get rid of it. As machnia legarit to get zara mishaber kocho, as yeshuato hu lo rak binyan prati, el yeshua kali. When you work it on yourself, you get to the roots of it, and then you're not just solving like a band-aid the problem, you're really being able to extricate whatever that yetzahara is. So here we understand now the dynamics, what happened. V'yinei b'shala paro ta'am, when Hashem had Paro send the people out, it was an asuso de la ela, it was an awakening of above. To a real degree, albeit we were physically out of Egypt, we, the Jews, did not extricate ourselves from the clutches of Egypt on us. To a certain degree, the mindset, the tuma, the impurity of Egypt was very much in full force. Mishum kach afshenitzlu, the double underline, the bracket, lo shivru klum et koach klipat Mitzrayim. Although they were physically free, the koach, the power of Mitzrayim, still held its grips on the Klai Yisrael. And this is why when Hashem says maybe the Jews will want to go back to Egypt, it means because they haven't fully been redeemed. And Hashem knew that, and he understood that pull, not so much to the physical Egypt, but to the mentality of Egypt, to the Weltanschauung of Egypt, that was very much still in the psyche of the Jew. So what did the Kadosh Baruch Hu do? Hashem wanted it that not should only be an Yisrusa de la Ela, an awakening from above. He wanted an Yisrusa de la Tata. He wanted it to come from Klai Yisrael themselves. That's why he brought them to Kriyas Yamsuf in the asterisk in 8 and wanted them to jump into the water, that they should have a serious nefesh, that they should take the initiative to break their past and to show commitment to Hashem. Yishperu kocha klipa b'Yisrusa de la Tata, and then they will reach the fullness of Geula. And that's why. That's why Hashem wanted, is this Paro himself was the one who was letting them free, so that he would be the one who would change his mind, run after them, and by running after them, it would then lead Klai Yisrael to have to take this initiative and be able to be the ones to break the Klipa of Mitzrayim. So now I can understand when it says, V'nei, in Source 9, Mitzrayim, Nosei Achareyem, the Egyptians were running after them, Rashi says, Ra'ul Sar Shal Mitzrayim, Nosei, they saw the archangel of Egypt running after them, Kulam hayu b'shleimutam adayim, v'rak mekriyat siyamsuf, shaitai yisrutsu l'tata, idei v'yisu, higia l'tachlis hagula, shleimu mekoch, mesirus nefesh, v'yichni l'gamri etakosh, shoklipa Mitzrayim. it was only when they saw that power, they were very much, you know, connected to that force. It was only when they jumped into the sea did they break ties. And that's the idea of Vayasar et Ofen Markavotah. Literally that they broke the wheels of the chariot on a much deeper level. Sheshavru Legame and Markevet Hatuma Shel Mitzrayim. They broke the charity of impurity of the Egyptians. And that's why Hashem says then and there, the fact that you saw Egypt today, you are never going to see them again, v'lo nishar behem adata, because they were completely demolished. So, now we understand why there was this fear, and we understand why Hashem orchestrated it the way He did. And the Sefer Shalom ends his essay in 10. He says, "Luchemo bichlalut Yisrael kach bepratur etzel kol echad v'echad." This model is very much a model for each and every one of us. There's a golus for every one of us to a certain degree that we're in difficult situations, and we have to realize that Hashem is walking with us, and there is an Yisrusa Dileila, an awakening of above. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still waiting for us to take the initiative. Hashem is waiting for our Kriyas Yamsuf to be able to break whatever it is that we're trying to work on. And this is very important, that with our tefillah and with all of our davening, that Hashem should help us take us out of the difficult situation, Hashem is waiting for us to jump into the sea. He's waiting for us to do something dramatic to show that this is it. We want to stop. We want to be different people. And it can't just be sitting back and saying, Hashem, please, please, please. Hashem has to see from us this desire. He has to see us jumping in. He has to see that mysterious nefesh, that we're really meaning what we are experiencing. And then Hashem helps us out, and Hashem leads us on the right way. And again, I go back to this book that's on my mind. That's really the theme of the whole book of Incredible. You see the Siyata Deshmaya every single page. But with that Siyata Deshmaya, you see that Mesirus Nefesh, you see that jumping into the sea, and you see that they have to go hand in hand. So that's one lesson we learned from this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates it as a model for us. Are you ready to really show that you're serious? So what are you going to do about it? You know, let me see you do something, you know, drastic. You know, like the people who are going to, you know, lengthen all their skirts or throw out all their whatever it is that, you know, that they're trying to stay far away from. That's an action of a serious nefesh. A second lesson that we learned, and this is really a lesson that is woven throughout all the ideas today, and it's so, so, so important. And perhaps, in my mind, perhaps the most important lesson, we could really stop now. We're not, but in Source 11, Katvu Balei HaTosfos Al HaTorah Ki Karov. What does it mean? It was close. Klomar Ha'am Karov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The people are close to God. Shenemar Livnei Yisrael Am Kravo. We're relative of God. We're close to God. V'lekach Lo Himigam K'minago Shel Olam. And therefore, He doesn't take them in the normal way. We learn a major principle here. Pamim nitvel adam bimrutzat chayav ki derchei hashgacha alyona imol nisterkin. Oftentimes in our lives we see that the ways of Hashem are hidden. V'lochoran nitvelo ki sibuchim shonim mushunim nigrarim b'darko. And oftentimes we say, Hashem, why are you making my route so circuitous? Why is it so challenging? Why is it so difficult? L'chol sher yifneh atzlacha mimenu v'hala. Wherever I turn, I'm not successful. L'fi chishuvohu harbe dvarim sheichelu l'fi havana pshuta v'chelka v'totzeim b'ro l'basof mishtabesh hadavar v'totza'a acheret. And oftentimes people start something and they say, oh, this is going to work, and it doesn't work, and this is going to work, and that doesn't work. And it's one fashla after another. And a person is angry and full of resentment. But they don't know. Bracket. A person very beloved to God. And therefore Hashem's not going to treat him the way He treats regular people. Ki Yichuso haram vagavoa v'kirvato l'Hashem shakol naseh l'tovato kefi omek dat habore. And this is where our emunah has to come in, that albeit in the way we look at things in this world, right, from our vantage point, things are not going the way we want them to. And we say, Hashem, how could you do this to me? And Hashem's answer is, ki karofu, you're close to me. And because you're close to me, I'm going to have you go the circuitous route, and not derech eretz plishtim, but derech hamidbar, because there's a greater good that's going to come from it. I want you to enter into the mesiras nefesh of kriyas yamsuf, whatever. I don't want you to be afraid of the war of the midst of the plishtim, whatever situation it is, but ki karof, it's for your good. And you have to trust me. That all the things in the end, you'll look back and say, ah, and understand everything that happened. This is the perspective that we need to have. That whatever way Hashem leads us, it's coming from the perspective of Ki Karovu, that Hashem is so close to us, and Hashem is so concerned about us. And albeit we may not understand, but there's a larger picture that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has. So that, my friends, is the third idea. Again, the first idea, two different groups of people. Second idea, they wanted to go back to Mitzrayim to finish up the 400 years. And the third idea is that they were connected to the spiritual force of Egypt, and because of that, they were still drawn back there, and Hashem understood that fear was very great, and therefore orchestrated that they would go in the way they went, in order to be able to have the people break out of that attachment to the spiritual force via Tharat Ofen Markivotav. Fourth idea. And this is, again, very much a Yesodic idea that Yitzchak Yom brings down. Quoting the Stipler, Kanu achana mekomot shatara maren lanu derech hashkachato yitbarach. Here you see the Hashem's hashkacha. Hashem could have made it that they wouldn't want to go back to Egypt. But Hashem doesn't want this. Because the whole point of this world, the person should have free will. Hashem could do many things. He could make us never want to sin. He could make us always want to do good. He could implant so many ideas into our head. Why doesn't he? Because the fundamental aspect of what it means to be a yid is bechira. Bechira means free choice. Free choice means that I have both sides open in front of me. Hashem wants it that we have this idea, penyin achayim. Maybe they will want to go back. He needs to have that in order to create the field of free choice. That there is always that idea of maybe people will want to go back. This is the yisod of creation. And obviously, he says, if a person wants to utilize good, Hashem will give him the siyata d'shmaya, the ability and the help to want to do good. But the options are always open that a person may choose a different path, and we have to be able to realize that. And he notes in 13, Shadam nitsa tachar hatkafara yitzarat, kimat shema bere kol yirat shemayim shalo, v'lilif shalo rak rishume yirat shemayim. And it works the other way too. When a person is under the influence of bad, he has bechira to do good. Sometimes that bechira is a very small voice. And you have to be, you know, really vigilant in order to stay away from the evil. But whatever situation we're in, the good, there's a counter to the bad. The bad, there's a counter to the good. That is what makes us human, that we always have that bechira, we always have that free choice open in front of us. But then we ask ourselves, okay, I get it. There's free choice. But give me a break. Like, penyin achayim ha'am, you think that they're actually going to take this choice? Like, it seems so bizarre. To which Rabbi Yehuda Leib Chasven in the Or Yahel begins to allow us to see into the human psyche. And the human psyche is such that we're going to see a number of dimensions of human psyche that we get an understanding of, indeed, this could actually happen. Source 14. Anu lumedim mikan ki adam asher mukav mishnei kochot hafechim min hakatzeh lakatzeh. We have in us two opposite aspects. We have the Nishmas Chaim, Lo, which is a Chelak Elokamimah, We have the spiritual part of us, that is the godly part of us. The guf achor, chashuch umetum tam, afar min adama. And then we have the body part of us, which is a very gross, you know, physical aspect. Hineu sulamutav artsav rosho magia shemaima. We're like a ladder, which is very much planted on the ground, whose head is in heaven. You know what this is like? It's like a person, and you see Rav Shach gives the same example in 16. A person has a horse. So if the horse is well-trained, so then the horse will do what the master said. But you get the horse, you know, seeing something that it wants, and will go after that thing, and, you know, we pity the rider. The horse may go completely wild, even kill the rider in order to obtain what it wants or gets into its mood. The body is very much like that horse. If it's harnessed, if it's directed, it could do beautifully. And a person can sit on the horse and direct the horse, the body, to where it needs to go. But if the body is strong enough, then who cares about the secha? Who cares about the neshama? And if the body's desires are so strong, it will just kill the rider and go after its desires. And that is the challenge that we have. In English, source 15, this can be understood when we realize that a person is a mixture of body and soul. Even when a person is on a very high spiritual level, he can fall. For this reason, one needs constant vigilance. At one moment, a person can be very elevated, and then if he panics, he can behave in a very mature way. Although the Israelites had a great awareness, this can be lost in a very short time. But this exact same concept of changeability of a person can give one great hope, concluded Rabbi Yehuda Leib. If you can fall quickly, you can pick yourself up very quickly also. Never despair when you feel you're on a low level. If you're sincerely resolved to climb spiritually, you have the ability to instantaneously put yourself back on the path of life. Therefore, Nosvari Pliskin, don't waste time with self-pity. If you feel you're not on the level you want to be, realize that you can obtain great heights at any moment, if you have a deep resolution to do so. This is the challenge of a person. A person has within them these two very, very different aspects. And we have to be honest with ourselves. There is an aspect where Klal Yisrael were excited. They did Bris Milah, they did Korban Pesach, they were spiritual, they baked the matzahs, they had a revelation of godliness, they were ready to leave. But then there's a very physical part of Klal Yisrael, the body, which is very much drawn to where it came from, as we'll talk about in a minute. And this body has certain needs. And being out in the desert, which is very scary, is scary for the body. And may want to go back to Egypt. The body-soul conflict is a conflict that we live in with all the time. And we have to almost talk to ourselves in this language when we're overcome with an emotion, anger, jealousy, or a taiva, desire. Ask ourselves, is this horse have a rider, or is this horse gone wild? And if the horse has gone wild, how are you going to take the reins in your hands and be able to calm this horse down and to tame it? Because oiv avoy to a wild horse, for the horse itself and for everyone around the horse. And again, if we think along these imageries, we almost say to ourselves, whoa, right? Maybe like watch some wild horses and you get a sense, whoa, this is out of control. Whoa, I can get out of control. I need to learn how to rein them in. And that is clearly what he says at the end of the squiggly of 16. Zoakor chayetzer, hashochein ba'adam, sheshayach leron yusim dolim v'niflim v'yneheg b'ateim, ulam im hu lo mechanech umargil gufo lakir et hakuchot shepolim bo. If a person isn't in touch with all the different parts that make us, our kochos, kasher tagia nekudat koshi, lishkoach atakov, lafochat karapia, when difficulty, challenge comes our way, we forget everything that we know, and belishum kesher lamashar aviyodeyaitev, it doesn't matter how much you know, how much you've been proven, everything falls on its head, vahaderech lashrish bitocho mashikufo roeh umargish, ulimur hamusar. The key is to learn musar, which is able to remind a person of the power of the Yetzer Hara and to be able to keep it in check. So we asked ourselves, how could the Jew go back to Egypt? The answer is, it's not so much the spiritual part of the Jew, it's the physical part. It's the horse going wild and you never know what can happen. And indeed, as Rav Zaitchik, Zatzal, and Or Chadash note, he says, You can have, and this is again, understanding the human psyche, you can have within a person two diametrically opposite emotions that are working simultaneous with each other. You can have the Avabatoch Rega Oshnia Nitkfu Gam Behirurim Shonim Betachlid Hafuchimunogadim Legamre Lurima Tovim Shlifteche. They can have opposite thoughts than they had a few minutes before. Zo Rega Shalata Vesef Kanur Shabo Mitgoshishim Shne Suge Yurur Zebazet Shvakar Shmerchu Shufanav Gluim Koli Rimba Machshavot Hachofim Etzul Adam Roe Gam Kana Kol. Shemirega shel simcha al shichur, gamin akev ulev hayun shel charatash shel nicham. One moment, ah, I'm so happy I'm free. The other moment, oh, maybe I should go back. And this is where it's at. When the Chumash says, pen yinachem ha'am, maybe the people will go back. And we ask ourselves, this is crazy, why would you think they'd go back? What the Chumash is basically telling us is, understand the human psyche, understand who you are, understand that one moment you could be elated, and the next moment you could be crying. Understand that we live in a world of push and pull in our emotions. And we know this to be true in so many situations where we make a decision and we're so happy with that decision, and then a few minutes later we say, really, should I do that? No, I'm going to do it. No, I don't want to do it. How is this possible? So again, it's back to the bechira, the free choice. Again, it's back to the horse that doesn't have a rider, that if a rider was there and holding the reins tight, they would say, this is where it's at. And B and C, this is the nature of the human psyche, that a person can move from time to time and create mamish different realities. As the mushal the Or Yahel gives, which we didn't quote here, but it's the end of his essay, is you see later on when Moshe Rabbeinu fights with Amalek, when Moshe Rabbeinu lifted his hands, the Jews looked toward heaven, they won. When Moshe Rabbeinu's hands went down, they lost. How could this happen so quickly? You believe in God, you don't believe in God, you're davening, you're not davening. This is a human being, and we know this to be true. We know that people can change bin rega. You know, it's that famous Bal Mussar, I forgot who it was, who sees a woman who's selling, you know, a pushcart, selling apples, let's say, and she gets into an argument with another pushcart woman, and she's screaming and yelling and at her finest with horse going wild. And then somebody comes to buy an apple, and suddenly she's so nice and calm and so friendly. Like, how did that change happen so fast? She's going to make a few kopecks on an apple, so you're nice. And again, that's the human being, that we can move from and fluctuate from one emotion to another so quickly. And we have to understand that's part and parcel of us. But you know what? The Leif Shalom Rav Tvardom takes us even one step further. And he says the following. He says in Source 20, Hayitachein, v'chi b'glal koshi b'chama yishno chashash yichzeru l'geitz al-mavet, because they're worried about a war, they're going to go back to Egypt. Achein al-kach ba'atshuva b'pasuk atzmo, ha-migalel lenu chushato g'dola shal adam ba'omro kikarofu. Here we see the human failing in one word, kikarofu. V'ein kavanat ha-pasuk lomar shekrova derech eres plishti mitzrayim. It's not that plishti is close to Egypt. El adain krova ma'od yitziyatam shal b'nei Yisrael z'atam mitzrayim. Kikarofu is their exodus was close. Here's the key. V'teva ha'adam lihimashech v'ligarer acharei hergalav hanoshanim. People like what's comfortable. People like what is known. People would rather have the known challenges than the unknown, even if it's going to be easier. Ukimrat ha'olam shatif la'adam lishayer imatzarot shekvar hugal aleihem. Person rather deal with their old problems, as difficult as they are, even if they hear that, you know what, if they change, things will be easier, they're not so quick to do this. Ask any therapist, why are people so reticent to change? And you say to them, let's work through your fears, we can get past them, and we can live a life of much easier. No, I don't want to change. Why don't you want to change? Because I'm familiar with what my problems are. I'm comfortable with them. I know what they are. So as I know what they are, I've been able to deal with them for so many years. I'll continue dealing with them. Ah, but you can get out of them. No, I don't want to get out of them. I'm comfortable where they are. But why are you here? Because I'm not comfortable. Ah, so you want to change? No, I don't want to change. I want to hold on to where I'm at. And that stalemate is what keeps people in therapy for years. Right? It's that famous joke. How many psychologists does it take to change a light bulb? question is, does it want to change? And that's the state that Klal Yisrael in. L'machala ra'azu, the second asterisk in 20, karu bala emusar hashrasha rishana, the first imprint. V'imigash v'yuzkach sh'nachlo l'adam mitzarot shirugalba hem l'chatchilo mitzarot chadasho kalot yoter. So let's try to understand this. The Jews are now have, you know, it's like from the frying pan to the fire. They have going back to Egypt and being slaves, or they have a war. So a war may be easier than going back to be slaves, but slavery they know. War they don't know. Let's go back to Egypt so we don't have to deal with a war. Ah, that doesn't make sense. Most of us live our lives that way, and it doesn't make sense. And we should be able to look at it and say, you know, when you learn a Pasuk Chumash and you say, hello, Hashem is with you. He took you out. He's helping you along the way. You'll make it through this war. You've made it so far. Don't go back. Don't go into the world of the comfortable. And then you say to yourself, well, Hashem has helped me also in so many areas. And I see Ashkocha Pratit, Akol Tzad Mishal. Why do I opt to go back to the old and not make changes? And not make improvements, and not push forward in life. Notes for Ashra Joan, if this is true with the physical challenges that Nisyonos that we have in life, how much worse so in Ruchnias? A person says, you want me to change? My Yiddishkeit, I'm comfortable with it. Hey, you want to call it apathy, complacency, you can call it that. I call it my comfort zone. I know exactly what I do in life. I don't want to take on this, and I don't want to take on that. You know, I don't want to rock the boat. You know, I'm comfortable here. I'm familiar. I know what's going on here. And just as crazy it is to hold back to the old problems, it's crazy to hold where I was, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, my Avodas Hashem. Again, you're right. Change means discomfort. Change means getting used to, right? But then when you get used to it, then that becomes the comfort. And then you move forward, and then that becomes the comfort. And that's what life is about, moving from step to step. Therefore, he says at the end, if a person has this momentary, you know, insight, I want to be better, Oli tarer l'maset tov kol shehu, you have to immediately act on it. Pen yachshov v'inachem aritzono atov v'chor rishpei hitarut yichbu v'yalmu b'ma'ava chashkat ha'chomer ashe b'sof yishar be'ergalav ha'karmim v'yishkach ha'kol ki karofu. That's why when you have this moment of epiphany, of understanding, you have to act on it and be able to change. And if not, you're going to go back. And that's one of the beautiful things to get about this book. Incredible. Hopefully by the end you'll have piqued your interest to want to read this book. It's a very, very enlightening and inspiring sefer book. When he made a decision to walk out of his first Arachim conference wearing a kippah, and his wife said to him, you're not around the rabbis anymore, you can take it off. He says, no, I made a commitment to wear it. And it describes how this commitment manifested itself. He did it right away. Had he gone home and say, okay, let me think, should I wear a kippah, should I not wear a kippah? What would happen? He wouldn't wear it, right? You have to sometimes jump in, because if you don't jump in, that, at that point, we've already backslided. So this is what we have to understand. So on this fourth level, why is there even a thought that Jews go back to Egypt? The answer is, Bechira, Hashem has free choice. Would anyone have a free choice to go back? The answer is, we're made of body, soul, and people are very fluid, and they fluctuate, and you know, thoughts come back to them, back and forth, and this is the human psyche. Particular people like that which is familiar, that which is known, even if it's more difficult than walking into the unknown. The unknown for people is so frightening, both on the physical as well as on the world of the spiritual. A fifth level, which is totally different than this, and in my humble opinion, makes a tremendous amount of sense, is Rabbi Yosef, Rav Yosef Salant. And he says, Hashem orchestrated it that the Egyptians themselves were the ones who sent them out. Sheparo shalach otam l'cheir mitzono, v'chein ha'am ha'mitzri shachu otam b'rtzonam. And in fact, v'hi b'shalach paro otam, the Medrash says that he was malave otam. He escorted them out with great fanfare. So now, im kein ha'yideze afshar shenichnas achshav v'datam l'chshav. Now, perhaps the people were thinking, you know, Paro and the Egyptians have changed their mind. They've changed their tune, right? We know the Am found chen in their eyes, and they started giving them gifts, and they started being nice to them. And Matah 19, Leo Rakim v'datam v'libam nefach lehem l'tova. So there were people that thought, you know what? The Egyptians have changed their mind. They love us now. They want us to be one happy people. We could go back to Egypt. Right? So, you know, at that point, and the, or Daniel echoes this, that they made money with the Egyptians, right, buying the water during the Makos Dam, and they walked out with all their gifts. So they said, you know what? Egypt is a beautiful country. It's very comfortable. We're used to it. The Egyptians learned their lesson. They're not going to enslave us anymore. So you attack it right. We would never want to go back to Egypt of the Egypt of slavery. But let's go back to the Egypt that we knew before the slavery. Let's go back to the Egypt where we're going to live side by side and we're going to do business together and we'll be culturally enmeshed with them and we'll live happily ever after. That's the Egyptian that Hashem was afraid they were going to go back to. So what did Hashem do? And this goes back to the idea that we spoke about before, that Hashem orchestrates everything to the exact precision in science. He had the Egyptians come running after them. So now they see the true colors, that the Egyptians don't want to live like no non-Jewish country ever wants to live peacefully with us. That doesn't last for too long. That the Egyptians coming running after them, the Jews clearly saw, no. V'yarusha dayin heim omdim b'mer dam u'rishu tam kamo shayu ad achshav. U'memeila lo yachshavu od l'shuv l'mitzrayim. By seeing them come after them, then so Hashem purposely took us in this long way in order for the Egyptians to pursue them, in order for the Jews to see clearly that the Egyptians pursued them, this is not a place you want to be back to. And then the Jews would finally try to get it out of their system that this is not going to be living happily ever after, and this is not a goal for them to try to return to Egypt. So in this level, number 5, this was a practical concern, that they didn't want to go back to Egypt of the slavery. They wanted to go back to Egypt that they knew, the Egypt of the fertile land, of living happily ever after, to which Hashem said, that is just a pipe dream. It's not going to happen. We have to completely separate you from the Egyptians, and you'll see their true colors when they're going to try to run after you. Our next idea, and this is the Chochman HaMatzvun in the Or Daniel 22 through 24, through 26 really, is that we could take a look at these people and say, oh my gosh, they've seen so many great miracles. They saw the hand of Hashem. What do you mean they're even thinking about going back? Like, duh, it's right in front of your eyes. And the answer to this is the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara can paint things right in front of your eyes, and you choose to see what you want to see. And notes here, Daniel quoting Rav David Pinto in Source 25 in the Dot, Tova'ah zu mitracheshet l'neged einenu yom yom. This isn't just something that happened in Egypt, that they saw the great miracles of God, and they saw the cloud and pillar, and they still want to go back to Egypt? Like, hello? We can also see great miracles and not take lessons. Anu lo chashim b'nisim ha'gluyim mitrachashim b'chol rega. We see great miracles happening every minute around us. Are we responding to them? We see people suffering. Are we learning the lesson from it? Are we growing from it? Ask yourself every day, how have I become a different person? Because you're alive on earth today. Can I say about myself that I'm moving forward day by day? If I'm not moving forward, it means I'm on a low level. Only if you're saying that today I'm a little bit different than yesterday. Today is able to say two brachos out loud. Today is able to have two kavanos. V'kan bali debi tui davrito shal yitzahara lakot chushim. Lerota tatova chayim usharim etzal chayim lamchish ladam shekiyum mitzvot zel sevel bal yituar. And the Yitzhahara makes it so difficult for us to grow, makes it so easy to be jealous of other people. And this is what we need to understand. It's very easy to say, well, how could they not have seen the hand of Hashem? Hashem, on their level, going back to the idea of Bechira, presented them with the ability to see God, and their Yitzhahara was on a similar level, and we too have the ability to see Hashem, and our Yitzhahara is on a similar level, and our challenge is to break forth, and that's our challenge for each and every one of us, and to be able not to be fooled and not to be, you know, put into a complacent mode. And Rabosai, this is where it's at. This is a challenge for all of us to see that we have an obligation to move beyond ourselves. So aside from reading most of this book, Incredible, I was on vacation this week. I took 2 days by myself up north, so I had the luxury of reading, which I don't all year, literally all year. The other book that I read was the Harur and Amunah in Har Nof by Risa Rotman, who was the last Kaddosh who survived for a year, if you want to call it survival, and then was Nifter Mamish almost exactly a year after the Har Nof massacre, where she writes a memoir of what happened in that year. And again, it's another sefer, and I call it a Musar sefer, of tremendous inspiration. And again, one of the major themes here is human resilience and the ability for people to move beyond self to think of other people. And that's what we have to ask ourselves in our lives. You know, when things are normal, and there's nothing, as we know, normal. My friend has a great definition of normal. It's a setting on the dryer. But as normal as things are, we fall into complacency. You know, we do a little chesed here, a little bit of chesed there, maybe a lot of chesed. But do we really live beyond ourselves? Do we really live to become greater people? Do we push ourselves to a higher pitch? And I think that's what this pasuk is about. That penyin achema am v'ruma chama v'sham mitzrayma. People hit a little bit of difficulty. Let's go back. People don't move forward. People are afraid of moving forward. And we're in the same position. We're in the same boat. What is stopping us from becoming greater people? What's stopping us from being able to go out and mamish change ourselves and the world around us? It's the Yitzhahara that's stopping us. We have to be able to call a spade and move forward. And that's the calling of the Parsha. Our final idea is the Siftei Chaim. The final two ideas. The last idea will be just one line. The Siftei Chaim points out in 27 that Rav Chaim Friedland says that when the Jewish people left, they left very fast. And when you leave very fast, there's sometimes a danger that when you swing the pendulum one way, the pendulum may swing back the other way. And that's what Hashem was worried about. Obviously, as we've spoken about the last few weeks, they had to leave quickly because they were on the lowest level of tumah, of impurity. But there is a danger that when you move very quickly, the chances of moving back are equally dangerous. And that's why Rav Dessler says that when you move very quickly, and sometimes things demand moving quickly, again, every situation is different, then lishrofa tegesher macharav, you got to burn the bridges. You have to move far away from whatever that temptation was to be able to not go back to it. And if a person sometimes, you know, again, every situation depends. Sometimes you have to go step by step. And in other situations, you go step by step, you're just going to, you know, take one step forward and 15 steps backward. Sometimes you have to make a dramatic cut with that which came in the past and move forward. And sometimes it's a very difficult position to be in. But this is what we need to understand, that we need to be able to be very firm on what are those pitfalls and be able to step away from them. Rav Gamliel in Sefer Tiva Parashim, source 30, says, "V'zeh limud gadol shevricha adam lachshov heitev et tzadav v'chol makom sheolech." First, has to really be careful wherever they're going. V'livchol b'chol tzadim im lo yuchal lavo lidei nisayon b'avodat Hashem. V'al yismocha l'tzmo she'afim yavo dvar nisayon liyado yachol lamod b'gvura l'bli likasha. Have to be very careful not to walk into a minefield of nisyonos, of challenges. And one should not say, oh, I'm strong enough. I can handle this. I don't have to worry about this. That's foolish. And a person has to understand that when you're making this break, sometimes it's worth making a break completely, as difficult as it is. By making that clean break, you're not going to then enter into the possibility of having to meet this over and over again. And he says, this is particular for a parent, Lagena chomat beitam, leva yishlu betocha shum ruchot ra'ot, v'lizrachek machdevei kasha mikoma shuchal ligur lidei pituyim v'nisyonot. That particularly in our day and age, one has to build around our children, and it's almost impossible, in our homes, a spirit of purity, that there isn't going to be the ability to, and, you know, kids are clever enough to get beyond every filter you can imagine, that we really have to build as much walls as we can of protection for our children, and recognize that these sakanot, these dangers are luring at every stage, at every step, wherever we are. We're living in a world which pulls us in many different areas. And a parent really has to be careful that they try to create, as best as they can, the wherewithal to not at least tempt as the children into being put into this situation. And again, every parent has to make those decisions. Every person has to make those decisions. But one cannot be foolish to say, oh, it's not going to affect me. And that's why, as the Saba of Kelm says in 31, one of the things that one needs to be able to combat the Yetzer Hara and to burn these bridges is Yishuv Hadas, is being able not to have Bilbul Hadas. When one acts under stress and confusion, then one makes serious mistakes. One has to really have that level-headedness and be able to say, this is a problem. Let me step out of my emotional connection to this issue, look at it from an objective point of view. You know, as many therapists tell their patients, you know, if you were to give this advice to your friend, right? Not you. Your friend is in this situation. You were to give her advice, what would you say? So, you know, if I'm objective about it, this is what I would say. It's so clear. Okay, now, can you put it in? No. By me, it's so totally different. What's different? I'm emotionally involved in it. It's so much easier to say it and have clarity when I'm dealing with somebody else. But by me, it becomes so much more enmeshed and more difficult. Our ability has to be to be able to step out and look at ourselves as that third person, give ourselves that advice, and be able to have that strength of spirit and strength of character, burn the bridges behind us, be able to leave so clearly all those things that are potential possibilities of minefields in our lives. That's why Hashem takes us the long about route. He doesn't want us to get even near Egypt, near the Plishtim. The war with the Plishtim may spur the Jews to come back to Egypt. Ah, it's a roundabout route to get, so the Jews shouldn't even think about going back to Egypt. Yeah, sometimes those roundabout routes are much safer routes. Sometimes we have to do much more difficult and much more circuitous things to protect ourselves, but if that's what's going to be necessary to create that protection, that's what we have to do. And I think that's really the bottom line on the last page, what all of us have to do in our life. Just like Hashem took us a roundabout route so we should go back to the impurity, we need to create for ourselves that clarity of what routes we need to take, what protections we need to have. Rav Noach Weinberg, 48 Ways to Wisdom, fences guard and protect, keep me safe from harm. If there's a hole in the middle of the street, the municipality erects a fence around it, no one should fall in and get hurt. One of the Kinyanei Torah is Ha'oseh Siag L'dvarav, making a protective fence. When you find a hole in your life, you need to make a fence to avoid falling in and hurting yourself and others. You need methods to help you avoid stumbling into errors. And you have to be honest with yourself. And he says that you have to, by wise strategize, 35, by wise counsel, you shall make war. Don't be a hero and rely on willpower alone. Figure out a step-by-step plan that will help ensure you live up to your resolution. For example, if you want to lose weight and exercise, throw out all the junk food in your house. Why tempt yourself? Provide yourself with an incentive for every time you go running. Tell yourself you will not eat breakfast and you'll do at least 10 minutes of exercise. You'll say, well, isn't it so much harder to take all the junk food out of my house? It's going to take me so much long to go through it. Let me just lock up the house. Is that going to lock up the cabinet? It's going to be much easier. No, because you'll find the key and open it. So it may be much more strenuous to take out all the junk food and throw it out. It's going to take you much longer. But in the end, you're burning the bridges. And then you won't have it to be able to, you know, break the lock and get back in. That's the strategies that we need to have. And he notes at the end of 35, we live in a society that goes contrary to Torah values in many significant ways. We are assaulted by degenerate media that promotes hedonism, violence, and immorality. Sounds like a great combination. Every Jew needs to erect a self-defense to protect his or her spiritual health, carefully choosing a social milieu and deciding what he will allow to permeate his home from the outside world, including internet consumption, films, reading material. All these things have a direct influence on a person's value. Set boundaries. Think before you consume. Freedom is the ability to say, I choose not to partake. Let's summarize and end with our final idea. The Jews could reconsider going back to Egypt? No, it wasn't the Jews, it was the Arab crowd. The Jews could reconsider going back to Egypt? To slavery, yes. That way the finish the 400 years. The Jews can reconsider going back to slavery. They weren't going back to Egypt and Siva Shalom, number three. They were going back to the spiritual clutches that they were in Egypt. And Hashem took us around so that we would jump into the sea by Sar Ofer Markavotav to break out of the clutches of the Egyptian hold of our spirituality, of our mindset. Number four, this is the human condition, Bechira, that we have free choice. We're made of body and soul, Rabbi Yudalei Prasman. We have to understand, we're a chadash, we fluctuate every day. We have to understand, Leif Shalom, we like our comfort zone. Even if it's more difficult, it's hard for us to change. And when we understand that, we understand that Jews can land up into that situation. Number five, even if we see the great things in front of us, the great miracles, to that extent, we have the Yetzer Hara that tells us the opposite. Sometimes we see things so clearly, it's hard for us to overcome it. We have to recognize the human condition. We have to recognize the challenges that come before us. Be'er Yosef, number five, they thought, now we'll be buddies, everything's great, what's the problem? Hashem had them run after us and say, oh, I see, it's not going to be so good, because there is that, was that feeling of, you know, we could all live happily ever after. Finally, number six, when you leave very quickly, you may come back very quickly, therefore you have to burn the bridges, which means you have to make fences. You have to do things, throw out that junk food, do whatever you have to do to just say, I'm going a clean slate, whatever it may be, to be able to rid oneself of these challenges, even if it's a more difficult, circuitous route. In the end, the longer route is going to be the shorter route, it's going to be the safer route. And all of us have to build those fences in our lives and have to burn the bridges and make sure that we protect ourselves, because as much as we say, oh, it won't happen to me, and I'm strong enough, and me, we all know human nature. We all want to go back to Egypt. We all fall back into the abyss. And finally, the Rav Volbi in Shirei Chumash 36, Afilu im b'mitziyut lo yashuvu, even if in the end they don't go back. Aval rak yitcharetu, charatazum vatel et kol hesegim haruchanim. Even if they say, ah, I wish I was back there, they then have undermined everything that they have ever achieved. Ashraga Gross Bartal in 37, Dachraga, Ela yidei shit mashi yitcharetu al etzem yitziyalu mafreya. When a person does a mitzvah and then says, ugh, I can't believe I did that mitzvah. I just gave so much money to Stucco. Why did I give so much money? You've blown the mitzvah. Hashem has created such a beautiful structure of Klal Yisrael being maminim, being believers, coming closer to Hashem, Bris Milah, Korban Pesach. He's built such a beautiful connection. Had he taken them the way of the Plishtim and for a moment would say, maybe to go back to Egypt, even if they didn't want to go back to Egypt, if they had that momentary thought, that would have been enough to ruin the whole structure. to have charats on everything that Hashem had done. Hashem didn't want that to happen. Hashem took them the long way so they shouldn't even have that moment of charata to teach us a very important lesson. And that is that whatever good we do, we should never regret it. Whatever good we do, even if it costs us time and money, ach, I can't believe I did that mitzvah, I lost the whole day now. Don't ever have that charata. Don't ever have that remorse. Say, I lost my whole day today. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me this opportunity to do this mitzvah. Penya nachimam, Hashem took them all the way of circuitous route, so they shouldn't have the thought of, I can't believe I left. Hashem doesn't want us to have such thoughts. And we have to learn from this on a very basic level, how when we do a mitzvah, we should embrace it with joy and never have this feeling, I wish I had it. Hashem is teaching us this lesson at the very beginning of Parshas B'Shalach.